Once we have money of our own, the relationship between us and men will radically alter. Now, we're not saying that exploitation will disappear, but we're saying that exploitation will be bad, and the one thing that will happen is that we will not be so differently exploited that our interests are seen as so different. In the sense that when we demand help from men in the home or with children, they know that if they don't give that help, that we have the power to walk out of that relationship. And I don't think we're going to have to announce that in bold letters if we have money in our pockets. I think the proof of whether we can do that is already emerging in our struggle for wages. When we even demand wages for housework, men understand very well the duality of that demand. They understand that they will not so much have the burden of us as dependents to keep their noses to the grindstone, but they understand also that the kind of power that they've had over us is being undermined. And they think that we're very bold to demand wages for ourselves, because they know that the whole relationship will change enormously and dramatically when wages is demanded for housework. We are really saying that housework is work, and if they don't want to share it with us, they can go elsewhere if they think they can get their housework done elsewhere. But we're all going to get that wage, and it's not going to be easy for men to put us against each other. We're not going to be in competition for men's favors. And this is really crucial in relation to the older women, because one of the ways that we've been divided is between beautiful and ugly, between respectable and not respectable, and between young and old. When we're all in the race for productivity, we are divided as women. When we all are demanding a wage and getting a wage, those divisions begin to disappear, because we are not offering ourselves on that labor market, which is called the marriage market or the couple relationship market. Nowadays, marriage may be out for some people, but that doesn't mean that the living with a man is not making a family. It is a family relationship, because the power differential remains, whether or not it's codified in a legal document, so that demanding a wage for housework is demanding to be deinstitutionalized as housewives, saying it's not my nature to do this work, it's a job I'm doing, and if you don't help me to do that job, well, move out, or I will. I can support the children, I can support myself, I'm getting money for my work as you are for yours. It may not be much, you're not getting much either, you never have. I've always had to slave and sweat to try to stretch the money that you brought in. Anyway, I'm in no worse a position if I'm by myself now than if I am with you. And these are the terms of the relationship. Now let us look at each other, and maybe, maybe now, you'll be sure that when I sleep with you, it's because I want to, and not because I have to curry favor.
Well, that's tremendous, but you propose that everyone get the same.
Yes.
But it will, and it will be a living wage.
In other yes.
words, that you could live by yourself.
Yes.
So that's considerable money, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And we do considerable work.
Oh, I know you do. How about, I know we do, in spite of my bad housekeeping. But anyway, you propose then that all women get it, including the queen, or from the queen on down, that all people get this extra wage for housework.
Yeah.
I mean, even if they have plenty of money being doled out by their man. I mean,
well,
we
don't have plenty of money but doled out by our men. I mean, the queen doles out the money to the man. I mean, that is what makes her rather unique in this society. Most of us are really stuck in marriages and stuck in our relations with men, especially if we're at the dangerous age where our the lines in our face are showing and where our muscles are not so firm, and where we can't where we are not being sought after by other men, which is a way of keeping our men, because we're demonstrating to them that the labor market, you know, we're doing all right on that. When we're not doing all right on that other labor market, as I said before, the men can desert us, can leave us in the lurch, as they often so often do. But the, even when we maintain those relationships, we're really stuck in them. And when we want to walk out, we haven't the money to do it. Whether or not the man is doling us out money for clothes, food for our children, very good house, hairdressing, all of these are qualifications for our job of being his wife, for our being his hostess, for our being the symbol of his success. We have plenty of money for that. But money to walk out, we don't have it. Sometimes we don't have bus fare. This is a reality which is widespread, I know, in the United States. I'm not now only talking about England.
I know very well it is.
And a lot of women don't admit that and don't even want to think about that. And they don't want to see that only a man separates them from the welfare line, only a man, and he can go any day.
Well, that's a slogan we have, you know, every woman's one man from welfare.
Yes, yes.
I'd like you
but
to...
But that is really a wages for housework slogan, because it says what our relation to society is and how it's money that keeps us with men.
It would cut down on the welfare rolls, wouldn't it?
It certainly would. All the welfare women would be getting wages. And it would also separate, it would also end the division between those of us who are on welfare and those of us who are getting welfare from a husband.
Do you feel this is going to happen in the next 20 years, or will it take longer?
I feel that with the younger generation coming up now, being able to give a power to older women, which we have lacked because we've been so separated generationally, I think that it's within the next few years, I think we'll begin to see it. Much, we're not saying at any point that we want not to relate to other people. We're saying that we want to relate to other people
on an equal basis
without the cash nexus. And the only way in this society to demand that is to demand the cash. There's also the other question about whether we want to be with men at all. Now, there are a great many women who are lesbian women. Many of them are mothers. I noticed in your magazine that there was a discussion on that, and I read that avidly, because there is in our Wages for Housework Committee an autonomous lesbian group called Wages Due. That's true also in the Toronto Wages for Housework Committee. And what we have been discovering is that so many women have had lesbian experiences which they treasure and then they put away in the bottom of the drawer of their mind while they go through marriage and children and the rest. There are women who are in marriages who just don't have the power to come out of those marriages, even though their husbands know that it's women they want to be with. And to the degree that we have a wage and our own independence, we have a right to determine the kind of sex life we have. The quality of that sex life, not only with women, but also with men. So much of our dependence has shaped what even we enjoy in our sexual lives. Because I think that part of being a housewife and that deep training which all of us receive is to get pleasure from other people's pleasure before you get pleasure from your own. I mean, you don't look to get autonomous pleasure. You look to get pleasure secondhand. I mean, when your children are happy, then you are happy because you have succeeded in making your children happy. Now, it sounds very mercenary to say that that's not enough, but it isn't enough. It isn't enough because the way the society is set up for a woman, she has to choose very often between her own happiness and her children's. And we don't want to make that bitter and sadistic choice. I mean, it's not we who are sadists. The people who have organized the society have really put us in a position where we are either sadists or masochists.
Of course, I don't believe in the conspiracy theory. I don't believe they sat down and decided it. It just worked out better for them to make it happen.
Right? That's right. But I think some of it they did plan. And there is some historical work being done now in the wages for housework movement on the question of the formation of the nuclear family and how they actually planned
Of course they did. In Africa, I've seen these little huts that they build for the men who are going to work for the company and who are living in a tribe. Yes, I have seen that in my own eyes.
Yes, and the tribe.
Well, I guess it happened here too.
Yes, it did. Yes. It did. They did plan the nuclear family. And they did plan us in it. And they did plan that they would get more profit if we were working for free at home and if they had the man completely at their disposal in the factory.
I'd love to know the history of that.
Well, this work is really going on right now, and we hope that, within the year or two at least, a book will be published which will give all the data and information. But, you know, in the magazine there, in the articles, there were women who were really trying to find their way on the question of their own sexuality and on the sexuality of other women. And what is very clear is that we don't know what our sexuality is at all. I mean, we just haven't a clue. What we find out every day is what our sexuality is not. What our sexuality is actually, we will not find out until we are no longer defined by a work and a destiny which is really set out for us from birth. And I think there is a really direct connection between our sexual subservience and the kind of work that we do, the repetitious and boring work that we do both inside of the home and in jobs outside of the home. Because I think that the kind of sexual frustration, which is not, it's not a question of whether you have the orgasm or you don't have the orgasm, but the frustration of never having an absolute intimacy with the opposite sex at the moment of your deepest need for intimacy is very frustrating. We do know that we confide in women even when we sleep with men, and now something is terribly wrong with a sexual life where you confide in another sex other than the one that you're making love to. And we just have no idea what sexuality would be like if these pressures were not upon us, because lesbian women, for example, have tremendous pressures to face, and they cannot say, and certainly the wages for housework women who are lesbian women don't say, that they know what their sexuality is. But they know many things about their sexuality with men which maybe some of us have not had the possibility, the power of facing, but they pay a heavy price for that because they have no access to a man's wage at all. And in the present crisis, it's hitting them hard, as it's hitting all women hard. We're all having to knuckle down if we allow them to make us knuckle down. And when they sack us as teachers, they know we'll do the same work for free at home. We'll teach our own children. When they sack nursery school teachers, it's the same thing. They'll save that wage and we'll see after the children at home. When they sack nurses, the same thing will happen. We will see after the sick at home. They're planning to send ill people back into the homes earlier. They say it's better for them. Well, it is better for them. It is better for the sick people. And if there were six of us to see after them, it would be even better. But it isn't. It's one harassed woman who's seeing after her cousin, her friend, her mother, her grandmother. I mean, or it's the grandmother who's seeing after the grandchild. I mean, it's always women who are absorbing this crisis. This is how it's directed at us. And we are refusing it. We don't want it. And that's what our demand for wages for housework is, too. You have a crisis? Well, you fix it up. We have a crisis, too. We have no money and we have no time. And we would really like to deal with that crisis.
Okay. The number is 371-5200. That recording was an interview that was done with Selma James, who is the originator for Wages for Housework. And she was being interviewed by Marjorie Collins, who is the editor and publisher of Primetime. And I have a number here somewhere for Wages for Housework in New York. Yeah. Wages for Housework in New York, 965-4112 or 499-1263. And we're gonna listen to a little music. If you wanna call and express your thoughts on the we don't have to listen to music. We have somebody actually calling. Hello, this is WBAI. You're on the air.
Oh, I simply wondered if you could give a brief biographical sketch of Selma James. I'll hang up.
Okay, that will not be terribly easy to do because I don't have a whole lot of information.
She's brilliant and marvelous.
Yeah, yeah. But what I do have is that she's the originator of Wages for Housework. She's been living in Great Britain for about 25 years. She is originally, I believe, from this country. And if you have any more to add to that, be my guest.
No, I haven't.
Okay, thanks a lot. Hang on a minute, folks, because I'm about to receive my lunch. Okay, let's get back to business. Oh, we're not going to get back to business. All right, if you were just calling and decided to give up in vain, do not give up in vain, because I am indeed taking phone calls. The number is 371-5200, and this is Viv Sutherland, and we were just listening to an interview with Selma James, who is the originator of Wages for Housework. Here we go. We're gonna try this again, folks. So you just bear with us. Hello, this is WBAI. You're on the air.
It put me into a state of shock. It was fantastic.
Oh, I'm glad you liked it.
I found that I was standing in one spot without moving for 10 minutes. That resentments that I had only partly even verbalized to myself were being expounded upon.
Yeah.
That's really great. How would one find feminists and people in London? Is Selma James in London?
She is in London. I don't know.
Directory? How would one go about contact?
Well, I'll tell you what to do. If you're interested in getting a hold of her,
yeah,
why don't you write to me here and give me your name and address, mm-hmm, and I will pass it along to Marjorie Collins,
okay,
who can probably put you in touch with Selma James.
Great. Thank you very much.
Sure.
Right.
Bye-bye. Hello, this is WBAI. You're on the air. Hello? Hello, you're on the air. We're on a tape delay, so if you're listening to your radio...
Hello?
Yes.
It's me.
Hello. How are you?
Okay. I just want to tell you, I kept hearing themes.
Yeah.
Yes, a very important program. A very difficult a goal to reach, I think.
Yeah.
But absolutely necessary.
It is.
And the only thing I thought when, mm-hmm, I heard her say one thing that I wanted to say to you was, do you remember when she said, we are structured, It is part of our personality structure. We nurture, we help, come to women as friends.
Yep.
I had a very bitter reaction to that.
Yeah.
I wondered what you felt. You didn't.
Well, yeah, it is. We've been trained to do that.
Yeah,
and,
but it isn't so automatic.
No.
She says it as though it's a fact of life.
Well, I think it is. It is in some ways a fact of life for...
Maybe just not in New York City.
Well, I think it's less of a fact of life in the women's movement. That's sort of paradoxical, but I think it's... As people are breaking out of...
old mold.
Yeah, that they break out of that one as well. And there is so much, I think, resentment at having to nurture continually that people who really get heavily into the women's movement throw that over with everything else.
Which I think may be throwing out the baby with the bathwater.
Exactly.
Because I love the way people say, well, break loose, stop, you know, women say to other women, well, look, stop depending upon men.
Uh-huh.
Stop. I mean, and then you turn to them and it's like, you know, there's nothing there. You fall down flat on your face.
Yeah.
You turn away from the men because, of course, they're doing the terrible things they're doing to you. You turn to the women for at least comfort and sustenance during a period of time. And especially if you're strong, and most women in the women's movement do present themselves as strong women.
Mm-hmm.
But their pain is strong and their fear is strong, too. And then there's nothing there for them.
Yeah.
There's nothing. And especially if you're strong, there's nothing there. I don't mean nothing, but I mean considerably less than one would expect.
Yeah.
I don't know how any revolution is going to work if there isn't some kind of mutual sustenance, and I really don't know how that will work either. But one thing I would like to say to women is that when they see a woman doing something that at the moment they are politically or psychologically manifestly against, should have a little more compassion for that woman, because the next year they might do the very thing that they think they're free of.
Yeah.
No one should feel so smug.
Yeah.
Because you've only put your foot up on the first rung. When you discover autonomy, you can fool yourself into thinking you still have it while you knit yourself back into the fabric of terrible dependency. You can do it different ways, and ways in which the dependence is disguised. You can lie to yourself and others can lie to you until you find yourself back in it again.
Yeah.
And as you know, I say that with some experience.
Yep.
And I think it's time, yes, I mean, she's in London, you say?
Yes.
Well, maybe London's the place to be now.
Well, maybe it is. She's talking, of course, basically from a different perspective than from the people who are active in the women's movement here.
Yes.
And she's talking, I think, largely of
the
housewife.
Absolutely. But of course, I identify with it. The hell with other people. I identify with that. I know, but those are the themes that are, you know, that I recognize, that I've constantly talked about. But you see, by emerging from the housewife situation, you find yourself in the next chamber.
Yeah.
And that chamber is full of dangers.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily different. It's just disguised. That's all I have to say. Sure, a woman can be emancipated from her vision of herself as a housewife, but what happens when she gets into the next place where she thinks she is now emancipated and she finds that there's just another form of slavery? It's like those ships that have waterlocked... You know what I'm talking about. You should know. You know a little bit about boats. Where they have cells, you know, that are watertight.
Watertight compartments.
And it's supposed to be a kind of... a safety factor.
Right.
You go from one that might flood, and then you get into the next one. You think you're safe, but that one can flood too.
Yeah.
So the thing is, it's even more terrifying when you think you've come out of one door into freedom and find yourself in just another watertight cell, in which can easily be flooded.
Not only another watertight cell, but one that you have not been prepared to.
That's the point.
To deal with.
One that you have no preparation for.
Yeah.
And people look at you and they laugh at you and they say, oh, but this is the way it is. Oh, yeah. This is what you wanted.
Exactly.
So then you think you ought to go back to the old thing because
that's
the
right.
Old thing in some ways was better, but you find that it's locked against you or it's flooded and there's no way back and you have no way to go but on.
Right.
What a terrifying situation that is.
Right.
But, I mean, I certainly believe in what she's doing and did love the program.
Thanks.
As you know. I meant to ask you something, but I guess I'll ask you off. I know you're going to be... doing another show, or have you done it already on rape on another?
On another station, yeah.
Done it already?
No, that'll be Monday night, but
I just want to make sure I didn't miss it.
No, you haven't.
Good.
Okay.
Thank you.
Take care.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. Okay. This is WBAI, you're on the air.
Hi, Viv?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd like to say something about the wages for housework.
Sure.
The movement for wages for housework is about the only new thing that's come along for quite a while in the women's movement.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a body of thought and analysis which is extremely instructive. I would encourage anyone to read the Wages for Housework literature, because I mean, you heard how compassionate and eloquent Selma James is, and the rhetoric as well as the analysis is phenomenally interesting and instructive, and it brings out a whole lot of new things. And especially, I think, the one of the most important things that it brings out is the amount of absolutely essential, necessary work that women do. And that is one thing that in their traditional role.
Mm-hmm.
And that is something that the movement has de-emphasized. Because, you know, you mentioned earlier a lot of women are doing less housework.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea, the thought has been that housework is something that could be squeezed down to practically nothing.
Mm-hmm.
It was all make work.
Mm.
I don't think it is. I think that without a fair amount of housework being done in a home, the quality of life in the home diminishes to a level below which I would not care to descend.
I don't think I have any argument with that.
From a personal
standpoint, I know exactly what it is you're talking about.
Right. However, I think that the direction that the movement wants to move is basically wrong-headed.
Mm.
The wage would serve to institutionalize women in a role that they are in and they seem to want to get out of. And I think that the question is, you know, how can we... I mean, this is the question that the movement itself raises. How can we spring ourselves out of our role? And the thing that the movement, you know, overlooks, which I think is crucial to women's position, and that's the role of childbirth. In fact, the Wages for Housework movement is relatively pronatalist. In other words, in their literature, they will say that not being able to have a child is a form of forced sterilization, not economically not being able to afford it. And I understand that concept, but the thing is this. Wages for housework, which seems to be such a radical idea, such an unattainable goal, is in fact a reality of life in a number of countries of the world, the socialist countries and in Sweden.
Mm.
And I'll tell you why. And it's crucial to know why they have wages for housework in Sweden and in Czechoslovakia, in the Soviet Union. And that is because the birth rate in those countries dropped down to such a low level that people are now being encouraged to have children. Women in the workforce in very large numbers in those countries, I mean, in the socialist countries, they're practically all women are in the workforce.
Yeah. I don't want to cut you off because you're touching on some important points, but we're out of time. It's now 2:00, and I have to start the next program.
Okay.
Thanks an awful lot for calling. I really appreciate it, and I just hate like hell to cut people off, especially when they're really getting into important theoretical kinds of things. But
okay.
Sorry.
Bye.
Bye bye. Okay. Thank you for listening to us today on Women's Studies. I don't know what we're going to be doing next week, but I'm sure it's going to be something fascinating. I think it always is. And until then, this is Viv Sutherland.